Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Jenny, what about the Moldavite?
Got it.
What about the crosses and crucifixes?
Got them.
What about them being pure sterling silver?
They are, 0.925, imported directly from Italy.
Well, how can I get one?
Just go to my website, www.drjenny.com. That's drjenny.com. Log on, click on the online storefront, and you can see all the crosses, the crucifixes, the pendants, even lockets. And the lockets all come with a piece of blessed palm from Palm Sunday.
Well, I'm going to go online right now and buy myself a crucifix.
Do it.
Hey, are you looking to find true love, the perfect job, prosperity, or the road to good health? Science has proven that our bodies are made up of a complex energy system called chakras. These chakras can be tuned up just like a car. Imagine if your car was not running correctly. Would you just sit back and assume it would magically fix itself? If your refrigerator stopped cooling, do you think you would just wait and see what happens, or would you be afraid that all your food would spoil and call a repairman? Chakra clearing and balancing is the same thing. When things are not going right in your life, whether it's your love life, your career, your bank account, or your health, can you afford to just sit back and wait and hope that somehow it will simply just correct itself? Chakra can even help the most stressed out person regain their sense of calm and inner serenity, regardless of what's going on around them. You can get a full chakra clearing and realignment long distance over the phone by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. We'll be happy to clear and balance all your chakras. Look forward to tomorrow, a chakra clearing.
Have you ever thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes, we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Jenny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
Thank you. welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I am Dr. Jenny, and I am here with
Miss Jessica.
And you know what?
What?
We're going to stop calling you Miss Jessica.
Well, that's probably good because I never really liked it.
All right, let me tell you why I want to stop calling you Miss Jessica, okay? I got a bunch of emails, and in those emails, and I actually want to read you something that somebody said here. Okay, they said, Jessica, it says here, we thought that Jessica was, Miss Jessica was her name, like some kind of religious thing.
Oh.
And like they said, like the Mormons, sometimes they call them sister,
yeah.
You know. And then somebody wanted to know if Miss Jessica was your stripper name.
No.
I can tell you that it is definitely not a religious name.
No, and definitely not a stripper name.
Well, no, not a stripper name either. But it is because when my children were young, I always used to call everybody Miss, you know, Miss
right,
name,
right.
Miss whatever.
And that's what I feel like is just somebody's mom because, you know,
right.
When my kids were little, that's what somebody called me, Miss Jessica.
Right. So we are now going to just plain Jessica, which is what I call Jessica all the time anyway. But
thank
I'm sure
you.
I'll goof a few times. So people bear with me.
And then
me.
I can just say, this is Jessica, woohoo!
Right, exactly. So that's
okay.
It, woohoo. Okay, say woohoo. Okay. Thanks for tuning in today. Our topic is, can laughter really cure cancer, herpes, depression, and the common cold? Today, we're going to tell you about some real scientific evidence that may prove that laughter really is the best medicine. Just by listening to the show tonight, you're going to become healthier. Now, how many radio shows can claim that?
That is a fact.
That is a fact, a fact. And a little later on in the show, as always, we're going to be doing some live mini angel readings, so please make a note of our call-in number, which is 323-679-0882. And feel free to ask a question, make a comment, or even if you have some advice, go ahead and give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. Again, 323-679-0882. And by the way, the chat room is now open. It's gone live. So if you want to ask a question or make a comment, please do so. I see Susie Q is in our room. She's our chat room mom, and she's in there keeping everybody warm and comfy, and we'll try to read those comments or questions live on the air today as well. Now, I don't want anybody to forget to mark your calendars for June 1st. Our topic is going to be, this is going to be so good, subliminal advertising and how marketers use it to make you buy their products. You want to be informed why you feel a sudden urge for certain fast food products, sodas, candy, many other products. Right, Jeff?
Well, yeah, and you and I were looking at some ads online, and it
yeah.
was shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. I mean, things that we buy every day, very popular items.
Yeah, the things that they use to get us to buy those items, the five catchwords that every company uses, even though by law they're not allowed to. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know that.
We'll talk about that next week on the show. So find out how these companies are using a form of mind control to manipulate you into buying their products. And after the show next week, I'll give you the web address of a site that I put up so you can see the pictures, the actual ads that you see right now each and every day. And then I'll have those pictures again with them blown up with the subliminal part circled so you can actually see where and how these companies are using the subliminal messages to get you to crave that product. Now, I have to say you're allegedly using it because I don't want to have a lawsuit, but when you see
well,
it, it's just alleged, is there?
No, and you don't see
it.
It
blew your mind.
When you look
you?
At it, you see this regular ad, and then when you zoom in on the stuff,
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It was shocking. You know, I first... I got really interested in this in college in my marketing. The very first marketing class I took at Ye Olde County College of Morris,
oh,
way
wow.
back when, yeah, you know, when I first started college, and it was like I was so enthralled with it because I'm like, this is, you know, this is amazing, and I would never have known it. And ever since then, it's kind of been my thing is to look at advertising and try and find the subliminal message.
But I guess I don't see how that subliminally. Makes you want it. You know what I mean?
Well,
just
yeah.
looking at the pictures, I'm like, that would just turn me off altogether.
It would totally turn you off.
Yeah.
But the subconscious mind is like a huge file folder, okay? And what happens is what goes into the subconscious mind is there for us to kind of take out at any time when we need it. Now, I won't go into how subliminal advertising works right now, but suffice to say that our mind is attracted to certain things on a primordial level. And because of that, when these certain flash words are either shown to us or the actual item is shown to us, For some reason, it creates a response of, I want it, I need it, I must have it.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, it's just amazing. So it's going to be a great show, so mark your calendars. I promise you'll be surprised. Some of you will be shocked.
You will be shocked.
Yeah, because Jessica, I mean, it's even on our currency. It's even on some currency that we saw on there that was just amazing. So, all right, now, you having a good week?
I'm having a very hectic week at work. We had a big company meeting today, so lots of important folks in, and it was just, you know, a lot going on.
A lot going on. I know you've been really, really busy. I mean, I know
well,
you said
busy,
you've been
stress,
totally busy.
All those things all together. So between that and lack of sleep, I'm doing great.
Well, that's good, I guess. we should probably talk a little bit about the Casey Anthony trial because we've been kind of keeping everyone updated.
Yeah.
For you know the last 2 weeks, we said 2 weeks ago that the defense would point to the finger at Casey Anthony's parents,
and
of course
you were right. You were right.
Have.
That was dead on.
Yeah, and now I'm waiting for them to make mention of the suicide attempt that Casey Anthony's father, George Anthony, made when he ran to a hotel on the beach. He went beachside here, and I believe it was in Daytona Beach where they found him. They put out an APB on
him. Yeah, I remember all
remember
that.
He had written a very long, detailed suicide note that was never released to the media. And I haven't heard anything today. I've been so busy with clients, but I'm assuming that the defense team is going to make mention of this soon enough. And I'm surprised it hasn't come out yet. And they're just waiting, timing it just right. But I think it's going to be the thing that's going to maybe validate the claim of Casey for the alleged sexual abuse charges against her dad. So we'll see.
Well, and I think it's going to be even more involved than that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be laying a lot of blame on him.
Without a doubt they are, but I'm wondering why they haven't made mention the suicide note, because the suicide note is a way to validate person's having extreme guilt over an action or actions, right? So,
they were saying today, I heard that they're talking about the fact that she drowned. That's how she actually died, but then they're bringing up, okay, if she drowned, why was there duct tape on her mouth and nose?
Well, the defense is saying that they're going to make a case for that she drowned on, I believe it was June 16th. I believe that was the date.
Okay.
And that that George Anthony actually held her and said to his daughter, now see what you've done.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. So she's claiming he had complete knowledge of her passing.
But why would that not have come out? Why would she not have said, okay?
I believe, and this is an assumption, but I believe what they're going to claim is that she was so afraid of her father and traumatized over repeated alleged sexual abuse acts that she was just in complete and utter denial.
Well, I guess that's possible.
You know, I'm just saying this is,
it should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I think the whole country wants to know, just tell us the truth, what happened, right?
Well, you
that's
just want justice done for this poor little girl.
I will say this. I do not believe, nor have I ever believed, that this was done on purpose. And I think this was an accident that got covered up.
Right.
That's all I'll say, because I don't give advice without being asked, and I don't make readings or predictions without being asked. So these are just assumptions, okay? But let's talk about Kirstie Alley. She came in second on Dancing with the Stars.
See, and I didn't watch it, so I didn't even know that.
You know, I didn't watch it either because I was busy working, but but I heard about it. And now Kirstie says she has two possible TV shows in the works, one for HBO and one for TV Land. Isn't that great? But she says, I really want to do movies instead. And this is the thing, Kirstie. Here's the thing, okay? I'm not giving advice, but I do have to say this. Unless I'm asked, I will not tell anybody what to do, but I would say get a series going, make it successful, and leapfrog into movies
and
again from there.
And that's where she had her success, was on Cheers.
Yeah, I mean, she's been successful in some movies as well, but the truth is...
But nothing big.
Nothing big, and I think that she couldn't beg, borrow, or steal a series in the past, except the, what was it, Fat Girl, or I forget the name of it. It was
Fat
something
Girl.
Fat, yeah, My Fat Life or something like that.
I never saw that.
No, that was the name of her show. It was a reality show. And I just think, you know, get a show, get a series going.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
funny. Your timing is perfect.
And she's talented.
She's great. I adore her. I think she's a great person. So I hope so. You know, I hope she does. So in any event, we're going to be talking about how laughter can cure the world tonight. And I think a lot of people are going to be really happy with some of the things we have to say. There is scientific proof that laughter can do amazing things for our bodies. Believe it or not, we're going to find out something that you can do for 5 minutes that has the same effects as 1 hour of exercise. We'll be back with that in two.
Thank you.
And you're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with Jessica, and we are talking about a really great topic tonight, which is how laughter really is the best medicine. They say even if there's nothing to laugh about, laugh on credit. Join in the humor because laughter really is the best cure. When your heart's heavy, though, and your mind is running wild with emotions and worries, laughing is the furthest thing from your mind, you know. But believe me, when that moment comes when something happens or is said that triggers laughter, it brings you to another place. Your heart is lifted, the load is relieved, and you feel great. You know, Bob Hope and George Burns, why did they live so long? What secret did they share? Is laughter truly the best medicine? And you know what? King Solomon must have been a person with a great sense of humor because he was the one who coined the phrase, laughter is the best medicine, 3,000 years ago. And after almost 3,000 years, we find out that he was right. Even doctors agree that a life without laughter is intolerable. Literally, they say intolerable. That's a big word for them. It's reinforced in the Bible several times as well. People with no sense of humor tend to die younger because they have weaker immunity against diseases. You know, Bob Hope died 100 years old, okay? 100 years old, born in 1903, died in 2003. George Burns, he also lived a complete century. Despite smoking, a little bit of drinking, they weren't necessarily health nuts, right?
None of those comedians lived any pure life.
No, absolutely not. And these are facts that you can check online. And you may wonder, you know, what longevity secrets these two greatest comedians share. And I think that's no secret. They laughed their way through life. And to the bank, of course. but you know what? Laughter really creates in us, within us, the most wonderful ability to laugh. I'm going to tell you that laughter involves the entire physiology of your body. And when you research the effects, lab experimentation has been done on our respiratory systems, the cardiovascular system, the muscular system, the central nervous system, the endocrine system, and the immune system. Laughter releases endorphins, the body's natural painkiller. And it's a pleasant act, and it produces a general feeling of well-being. And remember I said before, what can you do for 5 minutes that produces the same amount of results?
Yeah, what can you do, laugh hysterically or something?
Laughter. 5 minutes of laughter will produce the same amount of endorphins as you would produce if you did 1 hour worth of exercise.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Well, I would much rather laugh.
Wouldn't we all? I mean, honestly, wouldn't we all? I mean, that's just, I find that incredible. 1 hour of good laughing produces the same. I mean, my goodness, right? They say it proves to be true when it comes to keeping heart attacks at bay. Recent studies conducted at a university in Baltimore show that people who always have a good laugh are less likely to have heart disease. Further, people with heart diseases are found 40% less probable to laugh and become humorous compared to people without heart problems. So if this is true, then the very elixir that could solve a serious medical condition pertaining to the heart is found in the very primordial act of laughing at really thinny, funny jokes. I mean, you know, they say a good belly laugh is considered to be a form of exercise. It can serve as an internal exercise because it provides a good cardiac stimulation and conditioning. And this is kind of important for those who don't have the time to exercise or do physical activities. Laughing also prevents hypertension because it lessens the likeliness of stress. It also relaxes muscles and lessens the supply of dopamine in the blood, a hormone which we all know is known to induce the fight or flight response. Yeah, so I just think that's kind of amazing. And I know we've got somebody online, and I want to take this call because I believe she called in last week, and I don't think I had a chance to speak with her.
Okay.
So I'm going to go over to the lines real quick, and I'm going to click on to Audrey. Do I have Audrey?
Yes, this is Audrey.
Hi, Audrey. This is Dr. Ginny. How can I help you tonight?
Hi, Dr. Ginny. I just have a relationship question.
Okay, great. Did we speak last week?
No, I didn't get. They didn't get to me, no.
Okay, I'm very, very sorry. Yeah.
Oh, that's
sorry,
okay.
About that. I saw the name, and I thought it might have been the same name, so I'm glad we got you now. I'm ready to answer any question you may have.
I just want to see where my relationship with my boyfriend, Sean, is going. I seen him yesterday, and I just rekindled our relationship. We just recently got back together, and I just wanted to see what direction it was going in.
Okay, well, you just recently got back together. The thing that I'm being shown here is that, I have to ask you this question. Do you have high hopes for this relationship moving forward?
I do. I really care about him, and I've known him for a year. And
okay, yeah. How long was the retreat that you have? Because I'm being shown a retreat, and then this is how it's being shown to me. I'm showing that you're going to take almost a pause from each other, but then I see you coming together, and almost like practice makes perfect. And so the question I have is, how long was that retreat that where you two were apart?
I was with him for 5 months, and then I had to take a break to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 6 months. I never stopped talking to him in the 6 months.
Okay, good. All right. See, so that's the retreat that I'm seeing, and that's what's important, because I saw the retreat, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't one that was still coming up. So I believe the retreat has already happened. So now
yeah,
what I'm
six,
seeing...
6-7 months.
Yeah, okay. Well, there. That's... When I say retreat, and it's important, retreat means you're taking a break. It's like a little vacation from one another. And then you come back stronger with the right motivation and the right mindset. And in your case, you said you had some things that you had to deal with. And I guess you were dealing with some other issues, some past issues that had nothing to do with him?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with him. It had to deal with myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I believe that you feel that you've gotten a hold of that, and I think you have as well, but I think it's something you need to work on a daily basis. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I got to get a grip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you do. Can I say that sometimes you have anxiety issues?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And so it's really important that you get a hold of that. And, you know, I'm going to suggest to you that... that you utilize, and I'm sure you already have methods to utilize how when those thoughts keep reoccurring to you and you start having severe anxiety. But the one thing I would suggest is that you start writing down a lot of things that are going through your head sometimes when they start going through your head, because when you see them written down and you realize that you might be getting anxious over something that's not real, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I think something, I worry too much, and I think it's going on, and it's not.
Right, and then it goes from being a little nothing to a huge mountain, right? And you start obsessing about it, and then it affects every little part of your life. And so my suggestion is to keep a journal and to write these thoughts down, so that when you look at them and you look back at the first page of the journal and then 6 pages later, you'll see where you grew it. From being just a little anthill to being an absolute mountain that you can ski down. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, it really will be helpful for you, because when you have anxious times, you've got to center yourself. Do you do any kind of meditation?
I try to do meditation, and it just doesn't work for me.
Okay. Do you use visualization when you meditate?
I try to do either light, like certain light colors, or waterfall.
So like a chakra cleanse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm referring to when I say that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because I also feel like you've got a very strong intuition. Is this correct?
Yes, it's very strong.
Okay. Do you somehow work in the business?
No, I don't know how.
Because I'm getting a really, really strong sense that your intuition is off the charts. When I say off the, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, I feel very intuitive to other people, and I just don't know how to use it.
Okay. I've worked with other people before, and my advice to you is this. You have to start trusting your own intuition, and the only way to make it better and to make it grow is to offer to do consultations for people, and people, of course, who want it done. Because it's through the actual action and the practice of doing it. It's like anything else. You know, you might be able to play the violin, but to be a concert violinist, you know, you really need to practice. And I know that for most people, we will be giving signs and messages and words, but we need to learn how to interpret those things. Do you know what I mean?
I've always had it, but now that I'm older, it's even stronger.
Well, because you've had a lifetime of having these situations occur where you knew in your heart what was going to happen or what the situation was, and, you know, it's kind of like, knew it was going to happen, right? And after a while, you just kind of reach the point where it's like, okay, you know, I know I have this spiritual gift, but if you want to tap into it, you need to start using it. And so start offering to do readings for friends and family members. You'll be surprised how efficient you'll become very quickly.
Okay.
Keep your, and this is one of the reasons why you get overwhelmed with things, by the way, with the anxiety, because you have a very heightened sense of sensitivity. And so I would suggest that you use a visualization technique to be able to do your meditation. That will be really effective for you. So I suggest you do that, okay? Unfortunately, I don't have time to tell you about it tonight, but pick up any of the books that say visualization and meditation, and it'll tell you how to do that. And when you do that, you'll be able to envision yourself almost building a barrier around yourself, which is really critical for you to do, okay? And if you can't find any information on it, call in again in another week, and I'll make sure that that's the first thing we talk about, so that I can explain to you how that's done. Because I call it the Star Trek force field, and it protects you, and you need to do it more than anyone because you are very strong sensitive. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I hope this has been helpful for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, very nice.
Interesting. So how do you, I guess because I'm not psychic, you can feel that she's a psychic type
you
person.
You can sense the energy.
Really?
It's almost like, okay, when I'm talking to somebody who has that strong of a psychic ability or what I call intuition, it depends. Some people just don't like to use the word psychic, so I'm going to be careful to call it intuition.
Okay.
But it is psychic,
right,
what it is.
Right, right.
It's almost as if when the energies connect, her energy continues to go on, whereas most people don't. Hers does, because in order to be as sensitive like she is, she has to have an enormous amount of energy. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's having a little bit of difficulty with anxiety issues sometimes.
Interesting.
So, yeah. She actually is got a very, very strong sense of intuition, and I would love to see her, you know, expand upon
that.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. So let's go back to our laughter, okay? Let's talk about laughter for a minute. As a country, we spend millions of dollars on prescriptions each year, and we overlook the coping mechanisms that we actually naturally possess. And for the most part, our bodies were designed to heal and cope for themselves, right? So when we talk about the stresses of daily life that affect us, you know, pretty immensely, both physically and mentally, laughter will actually serve as our natural coping mechanism for the stress of normal life. And understand that this is a physiological change that takes place in our body. Stress will constrict blood vessels and lower our immune systems and the ability to fight off disease. So if studies have actually shown scientific evidence that laughter lowers the stress hormones of cortisol and epinephrine and in effect reverses the constriction of blood vessels. So this is, you know, clinical evidence of benefits of effects of laughter on the body, and the extent to which laughter can actually battle or cure disease. So it's not just a distraction from pain. You know, there are a lot of people believing that laughter can work wonders for your health. And I have to say that makes a lot of sense. We'll be back in two.
Dark like a shadow. I'll be beside you. I'll be your comfort. I'm there to guide you home. I will provide you a place to shelter. I wanna be your zone.
Back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. You know, even the Bible had jokes in it. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis,
so
the very first book.
What did Adam say to Eve?
No, it goes back
to the Garden of Eden. Hey, don't eat that apple.
That's not. No, it was the ancient creation story where God made the heavens and the earth, and then he rested. Then God made the animals, the birds, and the fishes, and then he rested. Then God made man, and then he rested. And then he made woman and said, I finally got it right. So laughter draws people to you. Joel Osteen, you've probably heard of him.
Yes, I have.
He's a great, great preacher. He recently gave a sermon, and I'm going to share a little bit of what he said, but one of the most important things to know is that laughter will draw people to you. It's attractive. You know, a lot of women ask me, you know, how am I going to draw a man to me? How am I going to get noticed? You know, I'm not going to sit there and start waving a flag saying I'm single, I'm available. Well, I'm going to tell you what will draw people to you, laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, Jessica, ever gone into a restaurant, a club, any kind of organized setting, even if you're at the mall, you see a group of people together laughing and cracking up?
Oh, yeah, you want to be part of it because they look like they're having so much fun.
They're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural attraction. It's like having a magnet.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll call it a magnet. So you think about one of the longest-running shows on TV today. Now, there's a lot of TV shows out there that are very sophisticated, and they're, you know, about all kinds of topics, but they don't run as long as one of the longest-running shows on TV, which is Funniest Home Videos. This is a wholesome show, and it makes
people laugh.
Right?
Some of the stuff is so crazy. I mean, it's kind of at the expense of others, but...
Wait.
It's still hilarious.
I know. It's true. You know, Psalm 126, verse 2 says, did I say Psalm?
You said Psalm. I wasn't going to say anything.
You got to laugh at your mistakes. 126, verse 2 says, when we were filled with laughter, the other nations took notice, and they said, what amazing things God has done for them. When you're filled with laughter, people will take notice. It honors God for you to be happy and have a joy-filled life. Laughter will cause other people to be drawn to you. There's just simply too much sadness in this world today, and many people have lost their joy of living, burdened by problems or by heartache. Each and every one of us should make it our business, our purpose, to bring joy everywhere we go. There's already enough sour people. We should stand out. One of the best examples is for each and every one of us is to be happy and joyful for people to hear our laughter, because it helps heal them too. There's healing power in laughter. When the joy of the Lord bubbles up out of you, the laughter can break the bondages of depression. I remember hearing a story about a hospital where patients who have been there a very long time were taken to a park for several hours a day to watch children play. The purpose was not only to get them in a different environment, but they discovered that when they heard the children laughing over and over again, it stimulated the body's natural healing process, and the patient's attitude was changed, and they got their joy back. The research, you know, it went on, and it showed that they began to recover quicker. Think about it. Just hearing other people's laughter brought healing and joy. Imagine what happens on the inside of us when we live full of joy, when we take time to laugh every day. Not only does it affect us mentally, not just our moods or our creativity or our thoughts, it even affects us physically. Do you know that laughter can help you stay young? All right. Now, this, you know, we spend literally millions and millions of dollars every year on creams and mixtures and everything else you can think of. Every time you laugh, something that is known as the youth hormone increases 87%.
Wow.
Now, folks, I want you to understand this, okay? This isn't just me selling snake oil here, right? This means that by listening to this show, okay, we are increasing your youth hormone by 87%. How many radio shows can say that, okay? That's the hormone that slows down the aging process and keeps us fresher and younger. I laugh all the time. Do I look 98?
Not at all.
See? You know, have you ever run into someone that you haven't seen in a long time and perhaps been through some hard times or some difficult and stressful times, and they look like they've aged 20 years?
Yes.
Okay. Why is that? When we don't laugh, we don't release the healing that God has placed inside of us. When we go around stressed and solemn and discouraged, and chemicals that God designed to keep us young to lower our blood pressure to stimulate our immune system, they just sit there unused and ineffective. God has given us everything we need to live healthy and whole, but we have to tap into it. We have to learn how to tap into it. One of the ways is laughter, being good-natured, being fun to be around, seeing the humor in life. I know some of us today, we've lost our joy. We haven't gotten out of balance, and we've gotten out of balance, and we're so focused on our problems, and you have so much stress that you haven't laughed in so long, your laughter's gotten rusty. You need to get that thing out and dust it off, and every day, on purpose, find something to laugh at. If you can't find anything, go look in the mirror. That'll give you a good reason. Our immune system is made up of millions and millions of cells, and some of these cells, their only purpose is to attack and kill anything foreign in the body. Bacteria, viruses, they're called NK cells. It stands for natural killer cells. And research shows that every person develops abnormal cancerous cells in our body every single week. And these NK cells, well, they go to work and make sure that they're all destroyed. But negative emotions like fear, worry, anxiety, depression, they weaken the natural killer cells. And what's interesting is studies show that people that are happy, people that laugh regularly, not only have more natural killer cells, but their activity is increased. In other words, when you have a sense of humor, when you are a good-natured person, your immune system, your natural killer cells, are going to function at the highest level. And that's what the scripture says. A cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. When we live sour or discouraged or stressed, we're opening up the door to sickness and disease. You know, and I believe some of you would see your healing come. The headaches would go away, the stomach problems, the ulcers would cease, the blood pressure would come down, and you would sleep better if you would simply start laughing more often. And I just think that's really important. Now, I'm going to take a moment here because I know we've got a lot of people on the line, and I'm going to go ahead and take another call here. I see we've got a call from somebody by the name of Twee. Is that correct?
Yes. Hello?
Hi, Twee. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. Can I help you?
Yes. I am feeling very stressed and depressed over my job.
Okay.
And I really, really want to quit my job next month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to seek the angels, you know, looking for answers, I've been asking for help, but I don't hear them. I'm not getting any answers. And
okay.
I'm trying to move in a new direction. I have an idea of what I want, but, I mean, doors aren't opening and things aren't being manifested. So
okay.
I was hoping you can shed some light, insight to when I will find a job again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say to you is I know you've been asking the angels, and I'm getting that you've been asking them so much. You're almost, it's not that you're tired of asking. It's just that you're getting frustrated because you don't understand why you're not getting the answer back that you're looking for. And what I'm going to tell you here is the answer that you're looking for, it's not that they're not giving it to you. I think that there's a part of you that already knows what you need to do and what you want to do. You're just looking for that validation from them. Am I right?
Right. I'm looking for confirmation that I'm doing the right thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You have made a decision to move forward because you're miserable in your current position. Is this correct?
Right, correct.
Okay. All right. And would God ever want you to be in a position where you're so unhappy that you're not thriving, that you're not filled with joy? Seriously.
No, God wouldn't want that.
You know that. I know you know the answer to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you're going to live your life the right way, you do need to make a change. But we also have a thing called fiscal responsibility. So the next question I have to ask you is leaving this job going to put you in a large financial stressful situation?
Moderately. I mean, I can get by, but the thing is, I don't know how long I have. I mean, I don't know the duration
okay.
of unemployment.
I'm going to tell you that I see that it's going to be about 4 months before you're in the perfect job that you're going to be comfortable with for an extended period of time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that it's difficult to leave the job that you're at, but I think when you get up every single day and you are not happy and you dread going into work, I think that's costing you more, maybe not financially in dollars and cents, but it's costing you in a lot bigger ways that are probably more costly in the long run. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you already know the answer. You've already made the decision to leave. What you're really looking for is how long it's going to take before you get the new job, and are you going to be okay financially in between? I'm going to tell you that you're going to be better than okay, and I don't know why I'm seeing that, because you've already told me that you can just get by, but I'm telling you you're going to be better than okay, and that's what's being revealed to me. Now, it doesn't mean that that's a good thing. It just means that that's what's going to happen. You're going to be better than okay. And I do see that the new job, the job that you're going to be most comfortable with, the one that you're going to feel like, okay, I can really sink my feet in here, dig in and do a good job and go the long haul because this is really where I want to be, I see that's going to come in approximately 4 months' time.
Okay. So how come I'm not getting this from the angels? How come?
Well, let me ask you a question. How long have you been communicating with your angels and in general?
In general, like really more so, like every single day.
Okay. Since when?
Since April.
You were young? Since April.
No.
Okay.
Since April, I've been doing this more so.
Okay. And can I ask you this question? Do you hear absolutely everything else the angels have to say?
I don't think I hear everything.
Okay. What I'm wondering is because this is, and this is very difficult sometimes when we read for others as well, when it's a family member or somebody that we have an emotional connection to, it's harder to see the forest through the trees, so to speak. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
our emotion is so tied up in it. And I think that you've been communicating with the angels, but I'm wondering if because this is so close to you and so important that your own emotions are tied up into it, so you're not clear hearing, as we say. You're not clear
mm-hmm.
hearing, okay? And I think that's the problem. Now, I do know you've communicated with them on other things, and I do know that they've given you answers. I'm being shown, you know, the triple, right, where you see things three times?
I heard of it, but I haven't experienced it.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes open for that starting tonight after we hang up the phone for the next 3 days, the next 72 hours. I want you to look for what I call the trilogy or the triple. And that means that something is going to be delivered to you three times, a message. You're going to see it three different ways in different contexts. And when you do, it's going to drive home the validation that you're looking for. Okay? I feel that that's the way that message is going to be delivered to you. So I really want you to look for that. It could be in the form of opening up the paper and seeing something and then turning on the TV and seeing something and then talking with a friend and them happening to mention it. And you're like, my goodness, that's three, right? In 3 days in a row, that's amazing. I want you to look for that because I feel like that's the way the message is going to be delivered to you because you're having a hard time hearing it, clear hearing, because you're so close to the situation. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, I've got to
okay.
ask this question. Is
mm-hmm.
the name Twi short for something?
No, it's just Twi. That's all it is. That's just the way it is.
Just Twi. Okay. It's unique. It's pretty, but I thought it might be short for something.
Oh, no. I'm Asian. It's an Asian name.
Okay. Okay. And is that okay. Is that your whole Asian name, or is there more to it?
No, it's my first name.
My whole name.
My
okay.
whole first
it's different.
Name.
I've never heard it before, and I actually like it very much, so I had to ask. Mm-hmm. I hope this has been helpful to you.
Yes, it's been helpful. I'm going to look for that three something.
Look for it, because I'm going to tell you, I've gotten this message before with other people, and if any of them happen to be listening tonight, they'll appreciate it because they know it. With one person that happened to be, well, a lot of times it's food-related, and I don't know why, but it was. One girl, it was Cheerios. Another person, for him, it was Twizzler licorice, that was going to show up three times, and sure enough, it did each and every time, and it did with the Cheerios each and every time. I can tell you that there have been instances where I've been told that the validation is going to come from something else. I had a client once who I was talking to, and she was just going through a really difficult time, and she was hoping the adoption process that she was going through was going to work out. And I told her I saw that it was, and that she was going to get a baby girl, and that not to worry. And the validation I got for that, believe it or not, was an Oreo cookie. And I said, I can't explain it, but did you have an Oreo cookie in the last 24 hours? And she just broke down into tears because when she met with the lady at the adoption agency, they sat there and had milk and Oreo cookies. And I can tell you since then, they did adopt that little girl, and she's thriving and doing really well, and everybody's so happy and blessed. So look for that validation. It's something that's going to come three times. I call it the triple or the trilogy. You'll see it, you'll know it, and it'll click for you. And just remember, sometimes when we're trying to read for ourselves, it's very, very hard when it's so important to us. And I know you're emotionally really tied to this because you've got some fear in it. And that fear is what's preventing you from being able to make a clear decision, because it's, you're so close to it. You can't remove yourself from it. And I bet you if it was one of your friends that you were talking to who you valued their opinion, I bet they would have a clearer view of it than you do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Twee. Listen, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I will say a prayer for you, and I want to thank you for calling in, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Goodbye. God bless. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
I love that name, Twee.
I know, Twee, that's different.
I like it because it's just, it's fun. I don't know. It just, it's a different name, and I really like it. And, you know, I talk to so many people, and I've heard so many names, so I really like to hear something a little different. That was neat. We'll be back in just two.
There was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair, she broke your throne, she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Maybe I have been here before, I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march, it's a cone and it's a broken hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too. And all I ever learned from love was how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. And it's not a cry you can hear at night, it's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Jenny, and I'm here with Jessica, and we are laughing. We're laughing all the time. We laugh at all the
stuff.
Well,
you do.
Stuff,
we're ridiculous.
We? I mean,
that's what I say. We should be very healthy because we laugh at everything.
We do. We just, because we see the humor in everything.
Well, yeah. And I do. You should see me at work. They probably think I'm insane. Because I have a tendency to make light of a lot of things. Just, you know, to lighten the situation because, you know, things can get pretty grim sometimes.
Well, exactly. You have to find the humor in everything, and there is humor in everything. As a matter of fact, you know, I was reading a thing the other day. No matter, you know, what you're doing, you can still use humor. You can make light of something that makes you really upset, and, you know, some people say, well, I can't because then I won't be taken seriously. But I'm here to say that you can use humor in almost any situation. An example here is a really funny complaint letter that was sent to John Paul Mitchell Systems. You know the hair company, Paul Mitchell? Okay. This guy wrote, Dear Paul Mitchell or designated agent, our family is delighted with the products of the Paul Mitchell System. We would not entertain the thought of venturing outside our home until Paul Mitchell has washed, conditioned, rinsed, gelled, sculpted, and sprayed our hair. However, lately we have encountered several problems. It began one morning after a shower. My wife tried to use her 16-ounce sculpting spray pump. Just when she needed Paul Mitchell the most, it didn't come through, the pump that is. I tried to hold the bottle at different angles, using different hands to depress the pump sprayer. I even held it upside down. I gently stroked the bottle and spoke to it softly in case the spray was fearful to come out. Then I took the bottle and spoke not so softly in case the spray had an obedience problem, but to no avail. Then my wife Vicky discovered that her super clean, extra firm holding spray 10-ounce aerosol can had the same problem. When she sprays it, half the spray hits her hair and the other half dribbles straight down. Now mind you, the super clean spray looks super on Vicky's hair, but not too good on her new dress. Now if my son stands beside my wife, right up against her, sometimes he can get the dripping spray on his hair, but then it's not very well distributed among his follicles. Finally, the 32-ounce Awapui shampoo went on the fritz. One day recently, while minding our own business, we pumped the pump to access the precious substance inside, and the pump broke. Now, when I say broke, I mean broke. A big hole now sits in the center of our shampoo cap. Now, I don't know how this happened. Maybe the pump grew weary of pumping, or perhaps some consumer agency requires the use of breakaway pumps to avoid damage to the bottle, just as breakaway rims are used in basketball to save the backboard. When I want to wash my hair, I must grab the 32-ounce bottle with wet hands and squeeze the shampoo, and out it comes. Paul Mitchell Awapui comes out in big globs. So I attempt to put some back in the bottle. Then it runs down my leg and straight away down the drain, never stopping to lather anything en route. The experience has answered one question for me. Where did you get the name Awapui? Well, I think I know, because when I watch my expensive product go down the drain, all I can say is awfully. Long story short, he wrote this letter. You think it got someone's attention?
I'm sure. Paul Mitchell
sure
probably thought that was funny.
And do you think he got lots of product in return?
I'm sure.
Because he took it and he used a humorous bent on it. He got his point across. He wasn't sassy. He wasn't mean. He wasn't angry. You know, I like Joel Osteen's, he says, fake it till you make it. If you're not happy and you're not joy-filled, smile anyway. Paint a smile on. Force yourself to be friendly.
Right.
Force yourself to be filled with joy, because when you are joyful to somebody else, they're going to respond in kind. It's very hard to look at somebody when you're angry and they're smiling and saying, how are you? It's so good to see you. You look beautiful today. And you want to be mad at them in the worst possible way. Can you continue to be mad? Are you going to come at them with, you know, fire blaring? You're not. You're going to be like, oh, darn.
Right.
They just took all the wind out of my sails, right? Laughter is as powerful as many drugs, and it's a lot less expensive, and it has no negative side effects. So whether you're for or against Obamacare, you're going to save us all a lot of money if you start doing laughter. Every time we laugh, healing is released in our system. Your immune system's getting more effective. No wonder the enemy hates to hear us laugh. He knows when you laugh, you're getting stronger, younger, healthier, smarter, calmer, and more creative. Health and favor and blessing are flowing through your system. Medical science is catching on to the benefits of laughter. There's something called the humor in hospital movement, where hospitals are actually bringing in programs designed to get people laughing.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful, you know. they know that the more patients left, the better they're going to recover. There's a children's hospital in another state, and they have clowns on staff, and they go up and down the halls making the children laugh, and they're finding out that the children there are recovering faster than the children in other places. Why is this? Well, when we laugh, we release the healing that Almighty God has placed on the inside. You may say, you know, Dr. Jenny, that's not my personality. I'm not like you. I'm more serious. I'm more solemn. Well, I realize that God's made us all differently. But what's happened most of the time is that I think we've forgotten how to laugh. When we were children, we all used to laugh about anything and everything. But now we have that stress of life that weighs us down. And you know, I think every healthy adult should have a healthy child on the inside. Think about it, right? Children, they love to laugh, they love to play, they love to have fun, they're good-natured, they don't lose the child in them. But as we grow up, we lose the child. I read where a common ingredient in people who live up into their 90s wasn't their diet or their exercise routine. It was the fact that they were extremely joyful people. They never forgot how to laugh. I remember Joel was talking about a man who was waiting in line to see him after a sermon. And he was a black man who was 106 years old. And when he stood in the line for like 40 minutes and he finally got up to see Joel said, "Hey, you know, you didn't have to stand there all the time. We'd have been happy to give you a chair so you could sit down." But the old man said, "Joel, I'll have time to sit down when I'm old." And Joel said, "Well, I can't believe you're 106 years old. You're handsome. There's not one wrinkle on your face. You don't even look like you could be 70. And the man said, "You know, Joel, black don't crack." I love that. He was so funny that when he left, he turned to the whole group and he said, "I'll see you back here the same time next year." I think the reason why that man was so healthy was he was so full of joy. He loves to laugh, and all the healing that's been released in him through the years has caused him to be healthy. And I realize we're all going to get old, but I made up my mind I'm not going to turn into a grumpy old woman. I'm not going to get more and more sour as the older I get. I'm going to be more like this man.
You want to be a 106-year-old black man?
I'm so sorry. I'm going to stay full of joy even when I get up to my 80s and 90s, and I'm still going to have a smile on my face. I'm still going to be having fun. I'm still going to be telling jokes. I'm still going to be, well, I'm never going to be good looking, but I'm never going to lose that child inside of me. Sometimes we think that the older we get, you know, the more somber we're supposed to be and the less fun we have to have. But I don't think that's God's plan. You know, Scripture says we are to finish our course with joy. And if you don't have joy, if you're not laughing every day, and you don't take time to play, then you're not going to finish your course the way God wants you to. And I can say this, old is all in your mind. And I have mentioned several times on this very show that just because our physical bodies get older doesn't mean our thoughts or our attitudes have to get older. We're going to live forever, okay? The real you that lives on the inside, that person is ageless. It's going to live forever. We are the ones that talk ourselves into being old and sour and grumpy. And, you know, Jessica, our moms, they were best friends.
Yes,
right?
They were.
Did they laugh?
They laughed a lot. They used to go into restaurants and just...
They would be hysterical.
Talk about everybody in the restaurant around them.
They loved to laugh.
Yes.
My mother found the humor.
Well, your mom was so funny.
Yes.
And I think that's where you get a lot of your humor from.
I don't doubt it. My mother could walk into a room and she had everyone laughing. She had a wonderful sense of humor, but it was the way she lived her life. She always found the humor in things.
Yes, she sure did.
You know, because, I mean, we all have life struggles and stresses, and believe me, she had many.
Oh, she had many.
Know. But she always found the humor in it, and I think that some of you today need to retrain yourselves to have fun. You need to retrain yourself to see the humor, to learn to laugh. You think you got to work all the time, you got so much stress, you got so many bills to pay. But even if you're not working, you're still feeling guilty, thinking you need to be working, and you feel almost like you got to have that stress in your life. Well, I want to give you official permission to have fun, enjoy your life. You need to start taking a dose of your daily medicine, not every month or every week, but every day. Find something to laugh about. I know a lot of you that are out there listening to me. I know a lot of you, we've talked on a fairly frequent basis. You all need to dig deep. You need to find your joy. You need to lock yourself in a room and watch funny shows if that's what you need to do, but you need to find that joy. I know it's a lot of responsibility, but you have to learn to love to laugh. That will relieve your stress. I remember a time with my mom was on a plane with my dad, and they never could really afford to fly first class. And if they could, my dad, he liked to squeeze a nickel tighter than, you know. So they always flew coach. And I remember my mom coming home from a trip, and she sat down, and she said, "No," I said, "tell me how the trip was, tell me." She was laughing hysterically. She said, "Well, what do you hear this one? You're going to love this." And she's cracking up, and I said, "Okay." She said, "Well, here I was sitting in coach, and I looked through those curtains, and I saw those people sitting in first class, and I thought, well, they're no better than me, and I wondered what the first class bathroom looked like." She said, "And I had to go, so as soon as the stewardess walked past me," she said, "I jumped up and I ran through the curtains because I wanted to use the bathroom in first class." She said, "So I went in," and she said, "You know, it's no different." Said, "Yeah, I know." She said, "Well," she said, "you know, I thought, you know, I got away with it, and I came out and I proudly walked back to my seat and sat down, and I looked at your father," she said, "and he was laughing so hard he had tears coming out of his eyes." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, you know that paper liner you put on top of the toilet?" She said, "Apparently when I pulled up my pants, it stuck to the back of my pants, and I had a tail as I walked down, and I could just see that happening." And, you know, there's some people, you know, they would have laughed, but others would have been, "Oh, my goodness," you know. She made it funny. She just, hey, it's another experience.
That's right.
So, you know, you got to always go for laughter. It's the most important thing. Now, I know we've got another caller online, and I'm going to go ahead and try and take this caller. Let's see if I can. I think her name is Arondria, and I'm not sure if it is. Hello, you're live with Dr. Ginny.
Hi, this is Arondria. You said it correctly.
Oh, thank you. Good. How can I help you today?
Hi, I want to know if you can see anything special going on around me, because I've been feeling like angels been coming to me and telling me that, you know, they want me to, that I have a special gift that they want me to fulfill. So can you see if that's going on, or I'm just...
Let me take a look and see what I see. You know what's kind of funny, and I don't know why I'm seeing this or why I'm sensing this, but I think that, well, you've gone through a difficult time. Did you go through a time where you had a hard time leaving the house for a while?
A hard time what?
Getting out. Did you go through a period where you really kept yourself closed off from the rest of the world?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm sensing that. I'm sensing that you kept yourself closed off from the world for, I don't want to say you were shut in, but it was almost as if your ability to communicate with the other, you had something very profound happen to you that came from the heavens, didn't you?
Yes, yes. I don't want to go into it. I can tell you what's been going on lately, but I didn't want to, you know, I just want to see what you pick up, and then I could confirm it, because I'm, you know, it's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well,
that's what I'm
doing. I'm telling you that I can tell something very profound happened to you.
Well,
I
didn't want to scare people listening on the radio, but what's been going on, and I think it's God trying to tell me that I have a gift where he want me to tell people that get right with God and Christ, because the world is ending, and that's what the angel is telling me to do lately. So I've been trying to, you know, I didn't want to say it on air, but that's what they've been coming to me and telling me what my gift is, what God want me to do.
You know, there have been a lot of messages that have been given out all over, and there's been a lot of messages that have been received by angels. And the truth is, you know, if you held a rapture party today, I think it would be a little bit early. So I'm not going to suggest you do
that. Oh, yes. It's not coming yet.
Okay.
I don't even know. I would never know because, you know,
okay.
No one knows but God.
That was going to be the next thing I was going to say. That's actually something we talk about, is that only God knows really when that time's going to come. And he's already said that. It says it in the Bible. It says it in Scripture. So the reality is it coming eventually? We all know it's going to come. I think your message, though, is very important. I think each and every single one of us should get our houses in order and be right with God, or whoever your creator is. I think you need to be right with that person. And I think we all need to have a strong spiritual center. And I think if that's a message you give out, I don't think that should scare people. I think it helps people.
Yeah.
So no, I'm telling you not to be worried. That's why I told you, I see you've gotten a very profound message, and I can feel that. I can feel it's very strong. I also sense that there was a time that you didn't want to leave your house for quite a while. I don't know if people considered that an anxiety, or but for you, it was because you were overwhelmed with some of the stuff that was coming into you. However, what I can tell you is that, and again, I don't believe you're scaring anybody by saying get right with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? And if that scares people, then they need to really get their houses in order, right?
Yes, and it seemed like for a long time, I just, you know, also was revealed to me why a long time of my life, I felt like every time since I was a little girl, I leave my house and I will feel like this, the negativity from people, like the stuff that goes on out in the world, and it would just like make me want to shut off. And even my own family thought I was strange and weird, but that's when the angels, because a lot of that was going on recently where they kind of shut themselves off away from me because they thought I was so strange. And I never knew why I felt that way. So the angels came to me and said that this is what's been going on. Now you know that you have a gift and you have a certain gift, and this is why you felt those way those years, because you were so in tune with the stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you how your family feels towards you now.
Well, you know what? I really am trying to, I don't want to tell them what's been going on. I told my mother that, you know, something's been going on. You know, I kind of been telling her in pieces, but I didn't tell her everything. And so she's kind of, what I'm concerned is that she thinks I'm crazy, you know, because all these years I've been always kept to myself. And that's what I'm concerned.
And now you're ready to spread the word and shout from the rooftops a little bit, aren't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think passing along the message of God is a good thing. I think it's something that your mother will welcome. I think that you have to certainly, I'm never going to tell anybody to be quiet or be secret about messages that they're getting, divine messages that you're getting. I mean, that's a spiritual gift that it's being bestowed upon you, so I don't think you should be quiet about it. I think that you always have to put it in the proper context, however, which means, for instance, when you called in, you said you were afraid of scaring other people. But certainly, that's not a message that should scare other people.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay?
I see what you're saying, so how to word it better.
Exactly. So put it in the proper context, and then your message will be received the way it's intended. But if we start going to extremes, anyone who's an extremist sometimes isn't as well received as they could be. So I would say put it in the proper context. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Listen, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Many blessings to you. And I think that what you've been given is incredible, and I would consider it a precious, precious gift. And just like I said, be very careful how you relate it to others. Doesn't mean don't relate it. It just means be careful how you relate it, and it will be received well. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Sweet girl, very nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's a very strong message. And I think that, that's the difference between somebody giving a message. You know, it's funny. You know, I could walk in here and say to you, take the car, go fill it up with gas. Or I can come in and say, can you take the car, please? I need it filled with gas, and I'm running short of time, and would you mind just running my car up there if I give it? Totally different way in the way a message is received and perceived when we give it with softer edges. And I think that if we go out like Mr. Camping did,
he completely freaked people out.
Well, he completely freaked people. He said, the end of the world is coming, it's coming, it's coming. And the most amazing part is, we know in the scripture, in the Bible it says, you know, only God will know when the time is near, when the time is coming to an end. But
I don't think you could pick a date out, you know.
Well, he thought he could, but I guess the next day he was like, yeah. Well, now it's going to be in, you know.
He's saying October or something.
Yeah, he is saying October. And God bless him. I'm sure his heart's in the right place. I'm sure it is, because he really seems like he's sincere and compassionate.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
I'm sure. And he's trying to help people ultimately, but.
But that's a message that you can't really deliver to people in that context.
Not in that way.
Okay?
Because he had a lot of people really scared.
I have clients that have called me up scared to death. I had clients whose parents were selling all their worldly possessions.
Oh, wow.
Somebody called me the other day and said, I heard Mr. Camping gave away all of his toilet paper, and that's a shame because he's really in the doo-doo now. And I thought that was really funny. But, you know, again, it's all in how the message is delivered, so I think that's really important. A secure person can laugh at themselves,
mm-hmm.
and a secure person can laugh when you do something dumb or silly or absent-minded. So whenever my dad used to get really mad or really intense, my mom would look at him and say, you're wearing your father's smile, meaning her father's smile. And that would make my dad burst out into laughter because the family joke was that my grandfather's smile was upside down and all the pictures we ever had of him, he was frowning. That was his smile. Now, I suppose my mom could have been mad that all the picture and the memories that she had of my grandfather were of him frowning, but she wasn't. She kind of made light of it and turned it into a catchphrase. So whenever someone had a sad face, and my dad, whenever he takes a picture, it's like a frown, right? He has the same thing. It's
he
so
does.
Weird.
He does.
I
funny?
Know. It cracks me up. But she says, you're wearing your father's smile. It never fails to make us laugh. So it's, again, that's kind of the message, what I just told the other girl, too. It's all in how it's delivered.
Right.
Right? You know, we talk about laughter and we talk about pressures and we talk about stress and how we make ourselves healthy through laughter and finding our joy. I think that we put so much pressure on ourselves. I remember 27 years ago when I was engaged, but not to my husband, it was 3 weeks away from my wedding. And the plans had been made and the dresses bought and the reservations and the caterers paid. And I realized I was making a huge mistake. And I sat my mom down after my dad went to bed. I wasn't stupid. And I told her I wasn't going to get married to my fiancé. And she could have gone ballistic. She could have thrown a fit. But instead, she asked me why. And I said, well, you know, I don't think he's the one. I think I need somebody who I communicate with better. I just don't feel, I think there's barriers there. She sat back in her chair and she said, well, okay, then I understand. It's time for a road trip. And she called, I believe it was your mom, right?
Uh-huh.
And you.
Me, of course. I was always the middle of the night
and,
call.
And I don't think my sister was in on that, was she?
No.
No, I don't think she was. We got in the car, and we drove all night. We stopped for coffee. We stopped for ice cream. And about 5 o'clock, we went into some little diner, and we had breakfast. But the thing I remember most of all, we laughed our heads off.
Oh, we did.
Do you remember?
We had so
it
much
was
fun.
Hysterical. And the thing that my mom knew that this was the right choice for me, but instead of being upset and all the other things that go with canceling a wedding 3 weeks before, she made fun. Her goal was to laugh at the whole experience and put it in the proper perspective. So now when I tell this story, right, it's not like, oh, gosh, how horrible it was. It's about, you know, how much fun we had when I realized that there had to be a different man out there for me. It was crazy. It was spontaneous. And God bless her for keeping her sense of humor during that. You know, and I know that, you know, I'm telling you a lot of stories about my mom here. But my mom, I guess, is the person that taught me that humor really is the best medicine.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That was the best way to handle it. I mean, it was a decision you made. You thought about it. And, you know, we were all fine with it.
We were all fine with it, and I was fine with it. And God bless him. I don't know how he's doing. That was 27 years ago. I've been married for 25 years to somebody else. So.
Yeah, I don't think he was probably too fine with the decision.
Yeah. Oh, well. You know, my mother kept her sense of humor even up until just before she died. When her death was imminent, she'd been seriously ill for 2 years, and it was weeks, literally 2 weeks before she would pass. And only in my mom's very special way did she decide to cover all her bases. She had a priest, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, and a non-denominational minister come by and talk to her before she died. She said, I'm covering all my bases, and I you got to love it. So I had my family priest come over to the house, and he had just been transferred in from another parish. He was pretty young. He was like 33 years of age, and my mom had Meniere's syndrome. So by the time she had turned, you know, the young age of 60, she'd been diagnosed as profoundly deaf. And so she sat on the couch, and the priest came in, and I introduced him, and I said, Mom, you know, this is Father Dirk. And she looked at him. She looked at me. I saw the twinkle in her eye, and she said, Father Jerk? And I'm like, no, Mom, Jerk, Dirk. I looked at her so she could read my lips, and she goes, yes, Father Jerk. I'm like, no, Mom, it's D, like in dumb, you know. D, Dirk. It was the only word that could come to my mind at that moment. And in that instant, all I could think about how sorry this poor new parish priest must have felt Well, she looked at him and said, okay, Father Jerk. And, well, he said his prayers, which, you know, is no longer called last rites, right? It's for the reconciliation of the sick. And then he left, and I walked him out. When I got back inside, my mom sat on the couch all innocent, and I looked at her, and I said, Mom, how could you say that to a priest? He was a priest. And all innocent, she looks at me, and she said, you know, I can't hear. Now, what was his name? I said, Mom, Father Dirk. D. Dirk. Clearly, no one's going to name their son Jerk. Okay. She burst out laughing, and she had decided to take her death on her own terms. She always, and I mean always, found a way to laugh during the difficult times. She was determined to go out laughing. And when I realized this, I started laughing too. And Father Dirk, God bless him, he's still at our parish. He and I both got it. And till this day, whenever I go up for communion, he starts to laugh. Till this day, every single time. It's always a lot of fun. We'll be back in two. I know, I'm not going to sing, don't worry. This is the Christian Psychic Cafe, and you're here with Dr. Ginny and Jessica, and we're doing mini angel readings, and we're talking about how helpful laughter can be in our lives and make us feel stronger, younger, smarter, more creative.
Wow.
It's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's like miracle juice, isn't it? I'm going to take another caller. Her name is Mary. Hi, Mary, you're on live. How can we help you tonight?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been having some issues with my health and also financial. I wonder what you pick up around all that.
Okay, well, let me take a look here and see what I can see. Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is your health, and this is kind of a... Why am I feeling that the health issue has to do with more the lower extremity than the upper? Is this true?
Well, there is some problem now in the lower extremity, but also in the upper. It's like,
okay.
It's
see, I'm not getting...
in the upper, but now I'm having some problems in the lower too.
Okay, I'm getting it from the chest down. That's what I'm getting right now. I'm not getting the head or the neck, and I don't know why that is, but I'm getting it more in the lower. Has that been irritating you more lately?
It started out with the head and the neck, and now it's some problems with the lower area too.
Okay, all right. The thing I'm going to tell you is that I don't see anything. Let's just say it's all controllable. It's all treatable. It's all we're not talking a terminal situation. Okay. It's not being revealed to me in that way at all. So I think that's good news. It presents itself differently to me if that were the case and it was going to be shared with me, and it's not being shown to me that way. So therefore, the way it's being showed to me is it's an annoyance. You have to work around it. It can be very problematic, but you can still have a good quality of life. Am I correct?
Well, lately it's been more so, and there's some confusion with getting help with the doctors that I'm dealing with. It started out pretty good, but now things have gotten very confusing. The help I was getting isn't coming, and I don't know if there's some problems in that office or what's happening. And then I have a transportation issue right now, and it's just all getting crazy. I just haven't been able to resolve things.
Well, and you're, from what I can see, is somebody who normally does take control of your life, and you're a pretty strong leader-type person, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, so this is causing you stress because you're feeling out of control right now. You're feeling like you can't control things, and that bothers you. I'm going to tell you that I see a couple of things here, and I want to mention this. Do you have a house up for sale, or are you thinking about moving?
Not really. I'm trying to maintain what I have, because I've looked around and there isn't any options that I'm aware of right now.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about getting a roommate?
Yeah, it's funny. That's been mentioned to me before, and I've tried, but things haven't worked out. For some reason or another, they didn't, they couldn't, or something happened and they weren't available to do that.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm seeing that that's almost inevitable that you're going to have a roommate.
Is it somebody I already know or talk to about?
I believe it's not anybody you know. I believe this is a new person that's going to be introduced to you, which is actually in a strange way better, and I don't know why, but for your situation it is. I don't know why, but I think you'll be, don't take this wrong, you'll be more open-minded to this individual. For whatever reason, and I see that this is going to be a good thing for you. It's going to help in more than one way. It's going to help to relieve the financial burden a little bit, but it's also going to, and it's almost as if, I guess they're going to have transportation, and that will aid you, okay? So I see this coming, okay? So I want to mention that to you.
And someone will introduce me to this person?
Yeah, this person will be introduced to you. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I see it coming in a fairly reasonable period of time, within 6 months or less. So anytime from tomorrow or 6 months from now, write that down so you can remember it, because if you're like me, you forget stuff.
Yeah, I'm marking it all down.
Okay.
Is it someone my age group or...?
It'll be somebody slightly younger than you, but not much younger than you. But this individual will have transportation, and there'll be a trade-off. I can't explain how or why, but there'll be a trade-off. So this person will be able to help you in some ways, and you'll be able to help this person in some ways. And it'll be through that kind of simpatico relationship that things are going to go much better for you. So I don't see you having to move. But I do see you bringing on a roommate, Okay.
Wow.
And again, the health situation I see is it's not a terminal situation. It's just something that can be problematic, and you're going to have to work around. And I know that's no fun, but it is. You'll still be able to maintain a good quality of life.
Uh huh. But do you see any other financial assistance coming in, like part-time work or any aid from any place that I've applied?
I do see aid coming in. I see financial aid, but because I use that word mostly for colleges, so I don't want to put it that way. But I do see aid coming into you through social programs that are out there. That is an absolute positive yes I see coming in. I'm not seeing right now a lot on the part-time job front, at least for the next 6 months, I'm sorry to say. Doesn't mean that can't change, but right now I'm not seeing it. But I do see social money from some type of social services coming in.
Is it something I already applied for?
I can't answer that. I can't answer that, but what I can see is that it is definitely going to be coming in.
Oh, good. Well, that'll help.
Okay. Good. Wonderful.
Oh,
Mary,
good.
Thank you so much for calling in, okay?
Christine, I'm enjoying your show.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same. Bye-bye.
Thank you now. Bye-bye. That was sweet. Really sweet. I hope that her roommate comes very quickly because I think it'll help her. I think she needs a roommate not only for finances, but I think also she would enjoy the company,
the
socialization that would come with that. So that's a really good thing. Now, I see that we may have, we've got a few more people on the line, and I'm trying really hard to get to everybody today if I can. Here we go. Hi, Susan. You're on live with Dr. Ginny. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome. How can I help you?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things going on right now in my life, so I didn't know specifically which one to choose.
Well, pick one. Surprise me.
I didn't know if you had any messages for me from my angels or anything. I'm in the process of adopting my 6-year-old granddaughter.
Okay.
And there's a lot going on with that, and I don't even know if I should be changing schools for her. There's some problems with her daycare, and yet it's convenient for me to take her there. And I've been advised by someone, another professional, that I should take her out of that daycare and put her somewhere else.
Okay, well, here's the thing. If you have been advised by someone else to remove her from that daycare because they don't feel it's a good environment for her to be in, if something happens, how awful would you feel?
I would feel very awful. Very awful.
Okay,
it's because they're not working with me. That's the reason why they suggested I get her in somewhere else. You know, because I've been having problems with them working with me.
I'm going to say that the energy that I'm feeling from that location is not great.
Okay.
And you want some place that has a really good energy, a really good feel to it. And I think you already feel that there's not a great energy there, too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, she's gotten kind of labeled.
Yeah.
That's been the main problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they see her as, like, being this problem child.
This is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And what you need is to get her into a preschool or a daycare where they're willing to work with her as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's
right.
Hard to find. I'm a big one for Christian daycares and preschools.
Right.
Because I find that they're more willing, there's more compassion, there's more understanding normally. Not that you don't get that in the other places, and I don't want to ever say that you don't get that in other places. You must
know
you do.
Mm-hmm.
But my experience has been, personally, that when I go to these places, that the experience is generally a little better. So I'm going to suggest that you go in that direction right now, okay?
Okay.
That's
mm-hmm.
the direction I would go in. And then I would say that will help you to go to the next step because you've got a lot of different steps, and that would be the first step is to find another location. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time tonight because I got a lot more callers on. I hope that's been helpful. Okay, Susan?
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. You have a wonderful evening, and good luck. You know, she's a good kid. Don't worry, okay?
Yeah, she
work
is.
Out.
She is.
I know
Thank
she
you.
Is, and that you love her to death. Amen.
I
Take
do.
Care
I really do. Thank you.
I know.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. That's sweet. You know, it's always hard as a grandparent, but her heart's in the right place, and she's doing everything that she can to raise that child, and I think that's really cool. God bless her. Many prayers.
Yeah.
such a cool song. It brings me right back to the 1960s when I was just a twinkle in my daddy's eye. Okay, maybe or maybe not.
More than a twinkle.
More than a twinkle. I was running around. Okay, you know what time it is. It's time
gosh.
Someone has to go down to the mailbox. It's time for emails from our listeners. Yay! We love to do this part. It's one of our favorite parts. So we're going to rock, paper, and scissor to see who has to go down to the mailbox and pull open that very, very heavy door. Ready? One, two, three, go.
Oh.
Both rock. One, two, three, go. Okay, it's
nice
me.
You.
I've got to run down to the mailbox. I'll be right back. I love it. Yeah,
never
that's how
old.
I sound when that laundry's not done. Okay, go ahead and pull the first one off the list. I'll
okay.
let you know, Jessica. And who is it?
This is a longie. This is from TM from Salem, Illinois.
Okay, go.
Okay. Hi, Doc Jenny. You won tonight. LOL. Lol.
Okay. Okay, yes. Okay.
Interesting show. I once had a... Oh, okay, here we go. It's a little story. I once had a little shop in a small section of a building that was almost 150 years old and had, well, a reputation for activity. The place was three stories, huge, was once a place where they built and sold furniture as well as caskets. Lovely. They embalmed and sold the casket to put a person in it, so it was a one-stop center. It had these amazing Gone with the Wind kind of staircase going up to the second floor, but the second and third floors were not well lit, so I always thought it felt creepy up there. One night, I was closing up my section of the store as the other one was already dark. I made the long trek back to the bathroom in near total darkness. This part was an antique store. And I heard a sound coming from up above that I could only describe as a sigh of exasperation. You know, the sound that a husband makes when they are tired of shopping with you. I stopped in my tracks, thinking someone was in the store after hours, so I called out. And, of course, no one answered. I ran to my side, locked up, and left as quickly as possible. I asked the former owner the next day if there had ever been any strange sounds there. He just smiled and asked where the sound came from. I told him, and he said that is where the embalming room was, something I was not aware of. Lovely. Then he said he had one lady that had quit working for him because she was so creeped out by the strange sounds that came from the second floor. He said another time a small child and her mother came into the store, and as he was standing on the staircase, the child pointed behind him and said, "He's standing right behind you." Of course, there was no one there. After a while, I noticed the sounds largely came after 5 p.m. and on weekends when I wasn't really supposed to be there. One Sunday, I came in to do some work on the computer, and I heard the sound of a box falling down the stairs, which was located directly behind my desk and the wall. Except it was like a box hit every step on the way down instead of just tumbling. Again, I left rather quickly, which I
would have
done too,
and
the next day checked to see what box had fallen and found nothing. So me and whatever that was seemed to have worked out an agreement. I was out of there by 5 at night and didn't come in on Sundays, and that seemed to work great. I've heard lots of stories about the building since. It would make a great place for a paranormal investigation, but I doubt if the current owner would allow it. He told me he didn't believe in ghosts, so that ended that.
Wow.
That's quite a story.
That is, and that I'm sure was in response to our show last week with Father
Bob.
Father Bob Bailey, and we had a paranormal show, and wow, can you imagine?
That's scary. You know, hearing these creepy sounds, and I guess they just didn't want her to be there on certain
evenings. After a certain time, they wanted the place shut down and quiet.
Yeah.
You know, in olden times, I can't believe I just said
in
that.
The olden days.
The furniture makers were usually the ones that were responsible for making the coffins.
I didn't know
died.
That.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's quite a history to that
yeah,
place.
Yeah,
so,
I bet.
Amazing, amazing. Scary. Okay, I'm going to pick another one here. And this one goes to Dear Dr. Jenny and Miss Jessica, which is now just Jessica.
Yes, yay.
You remember how Prince, who is now he's just like a symbol.
Oh,
and he just,
now
you know,
I'm a symbol.
You're a symbol. Love the show with Father Bob Bailey. I've seen him on some of the paranormal shows, and I was so excited to hear he was on your show. He sounds like such a kind and compassionate man. He's single, too. Too bad he's a priest. guess God gets all the good ones, laugh out loud. Thanks for the show, and you are now my permanent Wednesday night date. This is from Michelle B. in Louisville, Kentucky. That's
funny.
That's cute. And cute, and I like her sense of
humor.
And
Father Bob did sound cute on the phone, didn't he?
He is cute. He's a nice guy. I don't know if he'd appreciate us calling him cute, but
well,
he's cute.
You know.
He's a good-looking man. He's a nice man. He's a... He's one of those people that has one of those voices. I think everyone
yes.
could hear it.
He just sounded nice.
Right. Can you think of a better voice for a priest?
Well, right.
Right.
He'd be reassuring and kind and all those good things.
Yeah, and that's good stuff. All right, one thing we have to do is we have to draw our email.
Oh,
to see who gets the free 30-minute reading.
Shake it up.
As everyone knows, if you go to www.drginny.com and you go to the contact me and fill it out, then your name will get entered into our weekly drawing for a free 30-minute angel reading with myself, and that would be done, of course, privately, not on the show. And this week we just drew the name out, so let's see who this is.
Drum roll, boom,
boom. I had a rim shot. I was gonna.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, well, it says, okay, please enter me another drawing. Her name is Brenda H., and she is from Malibu, California.
Oh.
So, Brenda H., you will be getting an email from me in the morning. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Look forward to that. Very much I do. And, you know, I found something today that I thought was kind of funny. And, you know, sometimes you find things that are funny. No one else finds them funny, but I found it really funny. So I'm going to, because our show is on laughter, and I like
there
laughing.
You go.
So I'm gonna, this is a story about a man, a blind man, who walks into a bar, and he sits down, and he says, hey, after having a few drinks, does anybody want to hear a blonde joke? And the place gets very silent, and a woman with a deep, husky voice sitting to the right of the man says, sir, since you are blind, I think it's only fair for me to let you know that the bartender is a blonde woman, the bouncer is a blonde woman, the woman on your left is blonde and a professional wrestler, and I'm a 6-foot-tall blonde with a black belt in karate. The woman next to me is a blonde and a professional weightlifter. Do you still want to tell that joke? The man says, nah, not if I'm going to have to explain it 5 times. I love that.
That's
I thought
cute.
That was a really good
and
joke.
Considering you're blonde.
Well, yeah, and I have been ever since I was 17. We'll be right back.
Oh, you almost fell out.
Shows coming up. We have our subliminal advertising show coming up next week on how marketers use subliminal advertising to make you buy their products. Find out how these companies are using a form of mind control to manipulate you into buying their products. Then we have the show Liar Liar Pants on Fire. It's a show that's going to be devoted to how you can see signs that someone is actually telling you a lie or being deceitful. Now, there's a lot of people out there who would like to know that. And then we have a show on how to make and keep friendships. This show is going to detail all the great ways to make and keep friendships strong and healthy, nice long lifetime friendships. And this is a suggestion from one of our listeners. It's a show about near-death experiences, what really happens. We're going to be talking about that. I want to say, as always, thank you for listening to our show. We love what we do. We do the show because you are our listeners and you're our friends, and we appreciate each and every one of you. God bless. We'll see you next week right here on the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hey, want to be able to talk to me live and have a personal reading done? Visit my website at www.drginny.com. That's www.drginny.com. You can get a personal in-depth reading, or you can check out who's going to be on our show next week right here on Blog Talk Radio at the Christian Psychic Cafe. Don't forget, drginny.com, or call it to